Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies God presents upon us, that we sacrifice holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That saith the grace given unto me. If every man is among you must think himself more highly than he ought to think, and to think so away, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Chapter 16, chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Then I'd like to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 16.
You don't mean
1 Corinthians 16, verse 12. Couldn't find it either myself. Now, touching on whether Paul has greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, that his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watching, stand fast in the faith, put your like men to be strong, and all your things be done with charity. Well, see, this is the word deceit. We have it a number of times. Sometimes translated for another word that is used. But here in Romans chapter 12, I was thinking of it two or three years ago, was the chapter we took up here in the conference, here in this auditorium. Paul says, I beseech. The word deceit, it's a stronger word than ask, but not as strong as command. And it's a word that Paul uses frequently, or words that are similar to it. Beseeching the Christians, or his people, in different ways, and for different things. And I was thinking that here we're coming to the close, we haven't come to the close, but we're coming to the close of a very happy time gathered around the precious Word of God. We're thankful for the good Word of God to strengthen us, to build us up in our faith, that we might seek to plead for the Lord, and in the Word of His grace. We have that book before us here in this epistle. We think of in chapter 1, the conviction of the Gentiles by nature. We see them living in sin, completely lost, living only for the desires of the flesh. You see the Jew in chapter 2, although boasting great things, living in sin. We see in chapter 3, where the Lord says, where Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we come on and we see that we've been justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. We who were one time were sinners in the deep of God, but now brought nigh to the precious blood of Christ. And then also chapter 6 has been mentioned, where we have the truth of baptism. After we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, to have the privilege of going to the waters of baptism, to be identified with Him. And then to realize the great truth of Romans chapter 8, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That was the thing that filled my soul the night God saved me, to realize that my sins were gone, my fears were over, and that now I was saved and there was no more condemnation. Condemnation is a word that bugs my soul. It's a word that our dear brothers and sisters don't like to hear. Condemnation. But it was true in my own case that under the condemnation of God, but now brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ, I could say, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so we see here because of this, and because of the many blessings that we have through the Roman epistle, Paul said, I beseech you, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have here the thought of consecration. And I believe that it's something that needs should be mentioned in the conference. We used to hear a good deal many years ago. Our old brother, my beloved brother, now with the Lord, many a time, spoke in the truth of consecration. And many a time I would remember my own life, as a young man, having a fresh desire, to seek to go on for God and to lift the place in whatever the Lord would have for me. And we think, thinking of the number of other people that are here this afternoon, what a privilege is ours to seek to lift the cross. Only a little while here, life at best is very brief. It passed so quickly. Even hearing our brother, days didn't go. He's not an old man, but maybe his father a good deal older. Knowing that the surprise of my life is about 6 months ago in a meeting. And my brother says, now the old man, Fred is going to take part. And of course, in Spanish, that's a word of endearment, so that makes a difference. But, I reclaimed on him, I said, listen, I tell you, what do you mean by that? He says, that's what you are. And thank God for that. The Lord has preserved and kept and undertaken through the years. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, or by the compassion of God, present your bodies to living sacrifice. There's a brother here in Vancouver, in Memorial Assemblies, that I appreciate very, very much. And many times he said to me, he said, John, if I had my life to live over again, I would do such and such and such. Brothers and sisters and those that are younger, none of us ever have our lives to live over again. But we do have the opportunity to live the rest of our lives for the one who has done so much for us and suffered and bled and died. I was thinking of what we're hearing this afternoon about the Apostle Paul. There was a man saved by the grace of God. Immediately, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? And when the Lord showed him, he obeyed. You know, sometimes you would ask that question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I live here, what the Lord would have me to do? Will we pray about that? Not Paul. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Old Testament is full of dead sacrifices that were offered out to the Jewish economy. But here we have the opportunity of presenting a living sacrifice, of presenting ourselves, here I am, Lord, help to do that which is in accordance with thy holy mind and will. To read thy word, to feed my soul upon the good word of God, to cleave to thee in the word of thy grace, and to do that which thou wilt allow me to do. And I believe, with even on the encouragement here, we're overseeing brother. You know, it's a real thing. And some of us are see, brother, there they are at every meeting, all through the year. Comes trials, comes difficulties, there they are. Faithfully serving the Lord, maintaining a testimony, maintaining a witness, for the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the Lord calls us up for to do. I'm being not conformed to this world. Here we have consecration too. We have this word, mortal, and inward change. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this is something that is continual. I remember when I wasn't too long saved, and I'm working in a little store over on Granville Street, a van came in one day. I had a Sunday school class in those days, and of course it was Saturday evening, and I had, at the back of the store was a table that was used for merchandise coming in, and I had a Bible there, and I had time enough to read it, study it a little. He come around, quiet, he says, "You read the Bible?" I said, "Yes, I read the Bible." He says, "What do you read the Bible for?" "Well," I said, "I guess something for my soul." I said, "As for you, a Christian?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Are you born again?" He said, "Yes, I'm born again." "And you?" I said, "Yes, I'm born again." "Have you been baptized?" "Well," I said, "yes, I have been baptized." "You didn't look up baptized by the Spirit." You know, I didn't know 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 at that time. I had to look it up afterwards. "Well," I said, "baptized with the Spirit." "Oh, I've been baptized with the Spirit, and I've had this gift, that, and that gift and the other gift." But you know later, thank God, reading the Word of God, we found that on the day of Pentecost, the church was baptized, and we see that we are identified with the body of Christ. So we see here, be not conformed to this world. That is one of our problems today. The being conformed to the things of this world. Being conformed to any of the things. I realize that styles change. Was a year ago, I didn't feel like doing anything or saying about it. But now the women's dresses go down, and they go up. And they are up beyond the knees. And I give Brother Ben as well as he was. He came along, I should say 2 weeks before, one of our overseas brethren was walking to up with his sister. "I don't like to see the way you're dressed. Why don't you let the hems down a little bit? And you look more presentable. And you'll be a testimony in the town here." My sisters went home, they didn't like that one bit. But they all let the hems down. And the next week came along with your brother. He's not able for ministry now, he's blind. But he will take part. Been a good brother over the years. And he said, "Sisters, it's a real pleasure to see you here this morning with your long dresses bearing testimony for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I wasn't there at that time, but they told me afterwards, the sisters that told me, they said, "You know, we can run that hall for having each other another." And so, we are to bear a testimony. We are not to be conformed to this world. We're to seek to keep as far from it as we possibly can. Why? Being united to Christ. Bearing a witness and a testimony to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, continually. Pardon me if I don't want to stand it from the game, but and it is almost even in English. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may improve on what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Wonderful thing when one realizes that they're seeking to walk according to the will of God. And I believe we are able to know that which is the will of God for us in the day in which we live. On the same scripture, he speaks of prayer. In the third, and I'll beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers, that you strive together with me in your prayers, to God from the striving in prayer, laying hold upon God in prayer. Well, I remember years ago, and we still do practice, especially in God's coming, when there's prayer meetings before the meetings, and prayer meetings after the meetings, and sometimes prayer meetings for several hours during the daytime, taking the life hold upon God and prayer that God will come in and bless us again. But Paul realized the need of the prayers of the saints of God. We were hearing about old Mr. Vanstone, a man that stayed in his home many a time. We always had breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. Then we had reading. And then at 8 o'clock, he went to his room. And he never came out until 12 o'clock. But he spent those 4 hours in prayer. And he was praying. Many times I was in the room right beside him. I could hear that dear man pray. He prayed for every one of the saints in the assembly there in Philippi, and that were in fellowship with him. Then he prayed for them in personal prayer. And he prayed with them for Glen Euro and Taylor Sound and all the different assemblies around the globe. The Lord's people, he prayed for each one. He knew them all. And by praying for them all, he knew them all. He knew their circumstances. He knew their trials. He knew their difficulties. And all the like of that. We had an overseer in Caracas. We made assembly there. That assembly has also about 300 in fellowship. And that dear brother worship for us. We get up. And we show ourselves in this hospital. I'll sit this on the floor. This is the number. We said, well, hold this. Several hospitals in the river in Caracas. And of course, at that time, Caracas was a city that are hills, valleys. If you want to go to one valley, you go to the center of the city and out of it. Get back in, back to the center of the city, and over another one. That's the way it's changed now because there are 22 towns. But that dear man, he got around to all the different assemblies. He had different Christians that were laid aside. He prayed for them, he prayed with them, he prayed for them, he announced their names in the assembly, and the saints of God prayed for them. Great need of prayer in the day in which we live. Now, in our last scripture, where the time's almost gone, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul, as we have been hearing during the conference, has received a letter. And apparently in the letter, the Corinthians had a desire that Apollos would give him a visit. But it wasn't Apollos' desire, he wasn't able to do so for some reason or other, and he wasn't able to do it. Paul said, I greatly desire, or I beseech Apollos, that he would come unto you under the brethren, that his will was not at all to come at this time. It may well be because of the certain problems there, and he knew that thing that Paul had written there, and they thought that was sufficient, but that he would go at a later time. But then Paul leaves this little word. And I would like to leave this little word. He says, watch ye. Be alert. Be alert. I need to be alert in the day which we live. In Barclays and May, we have three assemblies. There's one assembly which is focused for him. There is we go hall. And we quite need help with this, with it. So one man came along and he was starting the seeking fellowship. And he was coming from the sectarian place. So we didn't receive him at the formation of the assembly. I was a little nervous. I spoke to my brother, Mr. Fairfield. He said, well, come on, whatever you feel. I said, well, I feel a bit nervous. Well, he said, wait. We waited. So I had to go away from meetings for a month or streets and I told them to be careful and wait. When they come back, the man is in college. They're not receiving in the college. A few weeks later, they came to the block and they said, listen, now we get comfortable with the Bible reading, because this man's got control of the Bible reading. He's in complete control. He's just teaching Pentecostal doctrine. He started the meeting earlier than the hour, so he did it. But when we had a kind of butting and carry on, he jumped to his feet. He says, listen, if I can't teach what I want to teach, I'm going to get out of here. I said, well, he said, no. And go on, people. But we need to be alert. Paul says here, watching. We should be watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be in a condition to wake up, watching for it. Being alert. The Lord's coming. We'll see Him, and we'll be with Him, and we'll be alive. Next word is this. Watch daily, stand fast in the faith. We are to stand fast in the faith. We are to maintain the truth of the teaching of the Word of God that has been given to us by God and men. God's Word needs to be maintained. And for that reason He says, watching, stand fast in the faith. And then He says, which about men? Be strong. We need to be as men. The trouble with the Corinthians, they were children. They were immature. And because of that, they were acting like children. Acting like they plan a disorder. They're playing together. Something happens. Then they're mad at one another. I'll never play with you again. And that soon goes over. There's a sense in which you can be as children. In that sense. But there's a sense of the immaturity. So the apostle says, be ye like men. You never see the tablets talked them here. He said there was a time when a man was visiting a home in Scotland, and there were three boys, and there were three boys in the family. And he said to the first one, and when are you going to leave when you grow up? Oh, he's not going to be a Presbyterian minister. Oh, he's a world. Presbyterian minister. And he said to the second one, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, he said, I'm going to be a medical doctor. And he said, that's wonderful too. And he said to the little fellow, with bright eyes, mischievous eyes, he said, what are you going to be when you grow up? And he said, I'm going to be a man. You know, brothers and sisters, that's what we need today. We need men. We need men. Men who will stand for the word of God. Men who will go on for the Lord. Men who will stand firm in the day in which we live. Watch it. Stand fast on the feet. Put your life in and be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I was thinking of the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. We're encouraged to be strong strong in His might, in the Spirit. Read the verse. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His grace, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's Christ, that is one in your heart. By faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may dwell in your heart. This is a verse that the brother, Mr. Maxwell, often writes us to do this one. Christ dwelling in our hearts. Occupied with that blessed one, so that then we shall see him face to face. And then, says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which will like men be strong, with all your things, done with love. All your things, done with charity. Whatever that which you were able to seek to do, seeking to show a spirit of love, seeking to honor the Lord, seeking to have a care one to another. We're living in days when there's a great be the most effective of God. Whatever word, by the way, the word of love, to encourage it and to build one another up until that day when our Lord comes to take the form of people, whatever with themselves. So just like we, these two words which Paul said, watch you, stand fast in the faith, which are like men, be strong, all your things be done with love. The Lord helps us.